my honeymoon in 1913, I had in my luggage some reprints of Einstein's papers, which absorbed my attention for hours, much to the annoyance of my bride. The papers seemed to me fascinating, but difficult and almost frightening. When I met Einstein in Berlin in 1950, the theory was much improved and grown by the explanation of the anomaly of the perihelion of Mercury, discovered by Le Verrier. I learned it not only from the publications, but from numerous discussions with Einstein, which had the effect that I decided never to attempt any work in this field. The foundation of general relativity appeared to me then, and still does, the greatest feat of human thinking about nature, the most amazing combination of philosophical penetration, physical intuition and mathematical skill, but its connection with experience were slender. It appeared to me a great work of art to be enjoyed and admired from a distance. Okay, you understood. It was not my bride. Just Max Born, but it was in 1955 at the Bern Congress. Einstein died some months before, and Born was one of the best friends of Einstein. So I think that, if I begin with that, it's a good way to understand how people feel at the time, general relativity. It was, you know, 40 years after Einstein's general relativity, 15 years, and it was the goal of the conference after the special relativity. But general relativity was at stake, and every conference was on this. Okay. Let's have one more. This is what I... This is a curve of the publication in percentage, you know, that I have done years ago. And from the time, I have to tell you that we did it once more with a colleague who is a sociologist, Yves Gingras, in Canada. And we got exactly, but with all, you know, the stuff, electronic and so on, quite the same, and we decided not to publish anything because, you know, I did that by hand. You can see the main points of general relativity, 1915, okay, not 1907, but well, it doesn't exist, but it was an important date, because in 1907, Einstein, you know, raised the question of a theory. He wanted to do that, a theory would be relativist, you know, relativist in the sense of Lorentz, not because, you know, gravitation was still Newtonian with Galilean kinematics, and Maxwell's equations were, we knew that from Lloyd, were Lorentzian. And so nature was divided into two kinematics. This was, well, in my opinion, it's the main problem for Einstein, but there are others. I will not enter this discussion because we have much other things to say. But, you know, it was necessary from an epistemologic point of view for Einstein, and we can understand that more, of course. So 1907 was a very important date, and in 1907 he already had the idea of the free classical test. What would the perihelion of Mercury, you know, the bending of light, and so it was not much left for the relativist in some way, because up to the 60s, you know, there were no new tests, and you know, and it was very many problems with this test as well. Only, actually, the perihelion of mercury stayed at the real test for general relativity. For the other, we will, if we have time, we will speak about that. But for example, the deviation of light, it was okay in 90. Bon, this is, you can see it from this curve, 1919, it was the deviation of light, which was measured in Sobral, Brazil, by Eddington. He was not there, but well, he organized under Dyson. And it was a very important date for general relativity. I will not go through any other point. But let's say that, you know, the number of publications in general relativity as a percentage of the total, it comes from all, you know, the publications I could see in the abstract, things like that, I all the list. And you have some little is in 1930, and so on. These little is are cosmology, and I will insist very much on the importance of cosmology for general relativity. I think it's one of the main, and I'm not the only one. For example, Oppenheimer said that, and others at the time, you know. They didn't like that much relativity in some way, but cosmology, always look at cosmology as the important thing in general relativity. And as you will see this afternoon, we will speak on the Schwarzschild solution and the problems. You will see that the cosmologist had a fundamental were essential for understanding that. Not only Lemaître, but also Robertson, for example, and others. Okay. Bon, after that you see, you know, what are the problems for relativity. We can come on with, for example, what say Bergman, you know, Bergman to Pice, you read that maybe. You only had to know, it was in the 30s, I believe, or something like that, what your six best friends were doing, and you would know what was happening in general relativity. It was the ambience, you know, things. You know. Maybe it's exaggerated, but it's Bergman, and he was quite. And Einstein as well said that it was a problem, I have no quotation here, but well, with the experience with general relativity. And this is one of the main problems of general relativity during this period, you know. Bon, everyone knows that the perihelion, it was, you know, miraculous. Marie Antoinette Thomassen said something like that because, you know, 43 seconds, you know, for the perihelion, it was 45 for Einstein or something like that. You know, the correspondence is so extraordinary that people thought that it was a miracle, something like that. But, you know, it was only the perihelion. For the deviation, for example, in 1919, bon, Eddington, Einstein, everyone was really, it was okay for everyone. But very soon after that, in 1930, with Freundlich in Sumatra, the things were really problematic. And I'm not sure that any serious historical analysis has been made of, you know, if Freundlich was really, because it's complicated. It's complicated, this history, you know. To make this observations, it's a lot. There are many people that have worked on the on the deviation in 1919 in Sobral. For example, John Ehrman and Blymore and many, many people. What was important in 1919, I believe, it's that the eclipse, you know, it was through an eclipse, I have no time to, but you know that. The eclipse was in from the ciel, you know, very bright. There were very bright stars around. And this, Eddington knew it, and Dyson and so on, and he insisted that it was a time to do that. And I think it's the main point for us. Really. But in 1930, I'm not sure that the analysis has been done, and I know from John Stachel that there were problems, I don't go into that, between, and so aggressivity may be at stake too, between general relativity and as well, you know, there were problems because Freundlich was working on this question from 1911, when Einstein asked him to come and to work on that. And he was not, he had some problems with, for example, in 1914 in Russia, and so on. It's all of a story, I have no time to go into that, but it was important. But in 1930, Eddington says, he was not so optimistic that as he was in 1990. He said that light is a difficult thing. I have the quotation there, but well. And he was not so sure that the deviation was well measured. And in 55, you know, only, you can read it from the analysis done, I have the quotation, but well, no problem. It was only the perihelion, which was, you know, the very point. But it was enough in some way, because Newton's theory had no reply, no real reply for the perihelion. But it was not much. And many people said that it was, you know, a very important investment for very few return. Yes, thank you. Okay, it was that. And that was the ambience. Well, just a word from me, because well, I was working very, not in that time, but even in 63, I was in the lab in Paris, and the ambience was difficult. And that's the reason why I will not insist on that. That's the reason why I wanted to understand, you know, understand the problem of Schwarzschild and the problem of the theory itself. And in any case, I wanted to work in history. And it was a moment where I decided to understand physics and to understand sociology of physics, too. You know, it's important. We will see that this afternoon, you know. I'm amazed with this singularity and the way that people couldn't see what they have done. You know, it's on the paper. They don't see it. And this is most important. On the paper you see some go through from the equations. I will insist this afternoon on that. But they don't see it. It was a doxa, you know. It was, you cannot, your boss says no to singularity, and so you don't see it. You don't see that. It's not. It's really not. And it's a lesson for us, you know. When everyone is in the same opinion, you have to be. And that's what happens to me in the 60s. I didn't believe in the Schwarzschild representation by Kruskal, everyone in Paris, but not only in Paris. It was general. Abai, you know that. You have seen it from a bit longer, but while you were there in the 80s, something like that. And still, people didn't believe in black holes, you know. And so, for me, it was complicated to and history through Schwarzschild. I began to work from Schwarzschild and to the theory in order to understand physics. You know, it was like that. Okay. And so now, for example, the astronomers react. Well, you know some of these stories, but I will tell you much more. I have, you know, 6 pages of, but I will not. For example, Curtis to chant to astronomers. And it's bizarre because astronomers, you know, you will see, they don't like relativity in some way. But they are so near, you know, they are acting with light years, and so it's the distance is already light, and so but well. Curtis Duchamp, 1923. There may be a deflection, but I do not feel that I shall be ready to swallow the Einstein theory for a long time to come, if ever. I'm a heretic.
Who said that?
1923.
Who said that?
Who? Said that? Curtis.
Okay.
Curtis, an astronomer. Okay. There are many, you know. I had a look to the books in astronomy. Up to the 60s and maybe later. That it's not a page on the general relativity, just some line for the perihelion, the formula, and that's it. You know, it's too difficult. You know, that was the point. You know. It's too difficult. But you know, they are not alone. I skip, but well, it's interesting to see how Einstein himself reacts not to the singularity, this is something, but to mathematics. When Minkowski came in 1906, 09, I don't remember that well. He wrote to Sommerfeld in 1914. And after Zurich, after Grossmann, after, you know, just since the mathematicians have invaded the theory of relativity, I do not understand it myself anymore. It's interesting to see the distance, you know. He had difficulties with mathematics, it's clear. But he did it, and Grossmann helped it. I was in Zurich some weeks ago, and I was not an expert on this. And I discovered how much Grossmann was an expert on the Riemannian history, you know, on all of that. And he was, I believe, we can discuss, I have much to discuss about that and to understand about that. He has much helped, I think, Einstein on that. Mm-hmm. Once more, quotation, because there are many and we have to see. You know, quotations for us historians, it's our experiment, you know. We have to, it's really important, because what I say, you say, wow. It's not, you know, facts.
Do you have them on your slides?
What? Oh, slides? No, I'm not so. This afternoon I have more, but okay. Now there are quotations. I have that, you know. This is concerning Laue and the special theory of relativity. It's interesting, you know. He had problems, you know. It was not, this is another point, you know, I have to point out. Okay. People were much of a Newtonian at the time. And this was fundamental, I think, you know. Because, you know, distance, there is no distance. You know, it's difficult to swallow. I read the your book, it was complicated to understand covariance in some way, you know. When you work on that, there are no distance, there are only proper time. And afterwards, what? It's a problem of, you know, of concepts, you know. And this is a fundamental problem in general relativity, I think, at this period. And, well, I'm not sure if I really understood how it has been resolved. It's a question to me, you know. And so, one more. Infeld. In 1936, just what you see. When I was in contact with Einstein in Princeton, I observed that this interest has almost completely lapsed. It was, you know, and the number of physicists working in this field in Princeton could be counted on the fingers of one hand. It's, you know, the same as Robertson was near to Einstein, and we will see that. And for example, another, I'm coming back to the astronomers. Rutherford. Yes, no, it is Will who commented to Rutherford, no Anglo-Saxon could understand relativity. No, Rutherford agreed, really. They have too much sense. It's not only Feynman. Everyone knows this letter from Feynman. I will not quote, because I think it's too...
Sorry, which letter?
We can discuss that if you want, but well. But there, you know, they cannot swallow it. You know, it was. I told you at the beginning. You saw my opinion now, which is quite different from what I said in this 80s. It's a theory ahead of its time, and it explains much of the difficulties. I would say we had much to do in concerning the Newtonian concept, particularly. You know, no distance. This was really difficult. We have to understand that, you know. Now you're raised, you know, in a new field, and it's difficult to come back to the spirit of people working in the 60s. I'm still like that in some way, you know, because when you do physics, history of physics, you have to understand people. We have to understand. It's a paper that has been published recently by Bernard Schulz. Maybe some of you read it, no? He is on the same line as me, on the same problem, you know? And I read it with much interest. But he is more rough than I am, you know? Really, really. And I think he cannot, and that's a problem, understand why some problems were not solved at the time. And very often it comes from the letter by, what's the name? Well, I'm lost, but well, this letter to his wife from, who is here, who is, well, no problem, but in any case, it was complicated. It was complicated to understand these points, you know. Bon. What I have to tell you more, I have only 20 minutes, so not much.
You have 7 minutes left.
Okay. Bon. Where are the problems, really, now? It was a very revolutionary theory. Okay, we know that, you know, the concept are completely, you know, no absolute space, no, as in Newton. No distance, and this was not clear to anyone. I remember that I understood that by a paper by Bertotti in 62. I remember that, well, it was no more distance. It was not clear in our lectures, you know, in the course. It was not clear to me at the time. No experiments, you know. There was no new experiments until, you know, the perihelion of this double, which Alson Taylor observations, you know. It was nothing before, as far as this, nothing. And so when Dicke, for example, if you, so some of you know that Dicke was very aggressive concerning general relativity. I would say that now, from our view, we can say that when concerning experiments, it was nothing to be done, you know, actually, because we have not the techniques, astrophysical techniques, to get something new. And for example, the first test, you know, it was measured in 1959 by Pound and Repka. It's well done. It's the only experiment in general relativity as far as on the experiment. And it was done just because the Mossbauer effect was invented 2 or 1 or 2 years before. And so it was no time wasted in doing that. And Dicker seems to say, well, the work has not been done. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure. Nothing has been done from the time that has been could have been done before. And so it was really difficult, a difficult time for general relativity, for facts. You know, it was not on. But well, it's also a problem of interpretation. But when we have no relation with facts, with news or something new, how is it possible to think? We will see that on the Schwarzschild singularity this afternoon. But it was not that easy. So, GL was also a very mathematical theory, and that was not so easy to swirl, to take the idea of this astrophysicist. But, you know, and just one point. I think that the history of mathematics in general relativity has not been studied as well as it has to be. I didn't, because I was interested in what I am telling you on the links with experiment observations and concepts. But in mathematics, it's a mathematical theory in some way, in much. And I think that much has to be done. For example, concerning Cartan. In Dallas, I could not be there, but I read the interview that Penrose gave, and he says that him, Penrose, thought at the time that the Cartan paper was too difficult to him, you know, and to me, you know, I didn't read it. I tried, but well, I was not interested in mathematics, and so that has to be done. It's much to be done in history. You know, and to come back to all what I have done, of course. It's never finished. It's never finished. So, mathematics was very important, and you know, we had good mathematicians, not only Cartan, but there were a lot. Okay. Bon, let me come to the conceptual difficulties. I think it's a point that Schutz made, and he was right. I remember very well that we had only the proper time, and with my students, I always was saying proper time, you know, that's in Molière, le poumon. But, yes, but with proper time, you can do many things, but not all, and it was necessary, but this, I want to hear from our colleagues, how you are to work now in general relativity, because I'm not working at all. I have done, but I'm not working at all on general relativity anymore. Bon, so, well, there is much, but well, I think that I will. It's okay. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Ted, you're our next speaker. Are you
ready? Oh, yes. Maybe you have to put your...
I have no idea. Somebody has to help me. I have a memory tube here, and somebody has to put it in.
I will put it on my...
Is it a PDF file?
It's a PDF file, yeah.
Yes.
Come and tell me where it is.
Yes.
It should be the screen version.
This one?
Yes.
Better to put it here.
What?
I
Well, they're using.
Which computer?
The big main one downstairs.
The cash register?
Yes.
That's a problem.
So I told you. One of the things works here.
Okay.
No?
Did you have a question? Well, it is University of Minnesota biology people here last week, and they actually took the picture. Well, they thought it was theirs, and then somehow they lost the case.
Maybe that's it.
They took it back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Go to the monitors.
I know why. Yes, no, I know why.
This is different from.
It's a PDF?
It's a PDF.
Yeah.
Question of the freezer day already.
Boom.
Now I'm studying in a spat house.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Miracle too. Preferences, right? Oh, so you know it better than I do. I don't use PDF for that. Who is expert? You are? On PDF on the screen.
I bet we have 50 different varieties of cables that are drawn. None of them can be used for anything.
It's a mirror.
The screen is not showing up on that screen.
You need to mirror the screen.
You know, I don't want to touch. It's always a miracle for me.
It's your computer.
No, it's a Mac.
It's yeah, I know.
Mac.
Well done.
Well done.
How do I move it up and down?
I don't know if it works with that.
It's okay,
yeah.
Bring it up.
Oh, share with
you. Now, what do I do here? Like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
Stand.
I would like to thank the organizers and our host here for this wonderful, wonderful accommodations and wonderful setting here. It's really a great pleasure for me to be here. I would like to try to tell you something that most of you will find absolutely outrageous and unbelievable, and I would like to also point out that I'm a very old man, and I would beg of you to be patient with me and not throw shoes at all. Just allow me to have my say, that's all. What I've been trying to tell you things that I'm not trying to convince you the truth of them. I'm just trying to convince you that you should take these ideas seriously. They're still open questions, and it's not a finished subject. I'm referring to Roger Penrose's theory that he refers to as a CCC.